Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Out of My Mind podcast. This is Keith Crosby, your host, and this is a podcast where we take a look at the crazy world around us through the lens of Scripture, that is to say, a biblical worldview. And today's podcast, we're going to talk about heaven. Aren't all of our friends there really? Why do so few make it? And I'd like to start with a story. Maybe you've heard the story about the two rich, tyrannical brothers who terrorized their small New England town for decades through the use of their wealth and their own ferocity. As the story goes, one day one of the brothers, the younger of the two brothers, died. Now, everyone knew that the two men were terrible, terrible reprobates. And as the funeral approached, people wondered what the pastor would say. I mean, these two men had multiple marriages, children who hated them, they engaged in shady business deals, you name it. Before the funeral, the living brother, the older brother, came to the pastor and said, "Look, at my younger brother's service, if you don't say he was a saint, you are going to pay for it. And remember, I make most of the donations to this church. I'll renovate the facility for you, but you don't say what I want you to say, I'll have you replaced. I'll get you fired. And the next guy will get a nice new facility, and I will spend my time ruining you. So remember this, if you don't say he was a saint, you will really pay for it." Now, maybe you've heard this story before. Well, over the next few days, the shaken pastor thought long and hard about what to do. He didn't want to lie. He didn't want to compromise his integrity, nor did he want to endanger his position or his family's security and well-being. Well, finally the day came. The time for the service arrived. He knew what he had to do. And on the day of the funeral, the pastor began his message. "We are here today to remember this younger brother. And in comparison to his older brother and his untimely premature death, we all know that this man was not a very good man. In fact, he was a thief, a charlatan, a liar, and a bully. But compared to his older brother, this man was a saint. I've been a pastor for 24 years, in ministry or leadership for longer. I've been a Christian for 36 years or so. I don't think I've ever been to a funeral of someone who was lost where somebody didn't say of the clearly unsaved person, he or she is in a better place. I've heard this sentiment expressed from lecterns, pulpits, music stands, and just among the crowd. Well, they're in a better place. Their suffering has ended. They are together with family. I've heard this said about wife beaters, atheists, blasphemers, and people of other religions. I've heard nice people express this sentiment that we're all going to make it. Heaven is like the bar in the popular sitcom Cheers, where everybody knows your name and all your friends are there." Now, it's not appropriate at a funeral to call out someone's dogged, blasphemous unbelief. Neither is it right to lie. There's a saying that funerals, like weddings, are for the living, but that's just not true. Anyone who tells you otherwise is selling something. Funerals are worship services. Their express purpose is to honor God as the dead are remembered. Now, my mom was one of those people. She was a sweetheart. She wanted to believe that everybody that she knew and loved was going to heaven, that somehow their belief in God was good enough. Belief in God doesn't do it. Which God? Even belief in the one true God doesn't do it. It is being born again. It's salvation that matters. Speaking of belief, today 80% of Americans self-identify as Christians. Now, that's kind of interesting, and we hear this term born again thrown around. A born again Christian is a bit of a redundancy. If you're a Christian, then you're born again. And if you're born again, then you are a Christian. Someone once tried to tell me once that they were a Christian, but they weren't born again. Well, I'll let Jesus speak to that in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Let me read that for you. "Now there is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven.'" Now, I don't think this bears further explanation, but remember that study where 80% of Americans identify as Christians. The follow-up questions to that basic thing, "Are you a Christian?" were telling. If you drill down deep in that study, you saw things like this: "Is Jesus the only Savior?" To which most people answered, "No." "Do you have to be born again to go to heaven?" Answer, for many people, "No." Or the question, "Was there really a bodily resurrection?" Many people answered, "No, there was no literal bodily resurrection." So much for Easter. Or the question, "Is the Bible a reliable source of truth about God, His will and His ways?" Many answered, "No." Or, "Did Jesus die for sin?" Apparently most people answered, "No." Or the other question, Are all religions, don't all religions lead to God? Many people answered, yes. Okay. Now, the list of questions here wasn't exhaustive, but by the time you worked through the list, you came to the conclusion that only 20% of Christians, or self-identified Christians, were Christian. The rest weren't, by their own witness and testimony. Now, we live in an age where people self-identify as all kinds of... We have fuzzies, people who identify as dogs and cats, things like that. That doesn't make it so. I can identify, I could call myself blonde, and I can believe it, but my hair, such as what remains, is black with a little bit of gray here and there. Now, you may have noticed the title of this podcast, Heaven. Aren't all of our friends there, really? And the reality is no, no. Says who? Says Keith? No, not me. Then who? Jesus. Okay, where? Well, he corrected many miscalculations and misconceptions about God himself in heaven in the Sermon on the Mount. And everybody loves the Sermon on the Mount, right? The Beatitudes, all those wonderful things. Most people don't read the entire Sermon on the Mount. And beginning in Matthew chapter 7, we read this in verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So what you have here is two gates, two ways. One is narrow and one is hard. One is well populated and the other is found by few. And that well-traveled gate where the majority of people are on leads to destruction, and the narrow gate leads to life. The hard route leads to life. And what does it say? Few are those who find it. So what we're seeing here are two gates, two ways, two destinations, two ways of life. This comes through particularly in Matthew chapter 7, 16 through 20, how to spot the difference between these two people. It says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, according to Jesus, by their fruits you will recognize them. So what am I saying? What am I saying? I'm not saying anything. Jesus is. You can identify those who are heaven-bound by the way they live their lives. Jesus says you will recognize them by their fruits. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. I won't get into mainline denominations who have unhitched from the Bible or any of these other groups, but instead I will just stick with the words of Jesus in the Bible. He goes on to say in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, did you hear that? Did you get this? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. See, doing religious stuff, talking religious language, dropping in on church at Christmas and Easter, doing whatever it is, doesn't cut it. You can do a lot of things. You have these false prophets on TV prophesying, these prosperity preachers, these crazy people casting demons out of this person or that person. And outwardly, to at least to some, they're doing religious stuff. But God looks at the heart. And as Jesus points out, it's not what they do outwardly, it's what guides them inwardly. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, who lays claim to me, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And where do you find the will of God? You find it in the Bible. But today, almost nobody reads the Bible. They don't even know what the Father's will is, much less have a desire to do it. Shoot, some professing Christians don't even darken the door of a church on anything resembling a regular basis. And that gets back to Jesus saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of heaven. And when he says this, there are people who will protest. Did we not cast out many demons in your name? Did we not do many mighty works in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? And what is Jesus' response to them? Verse 23. And then I will declare to them, all these people who did religious stuff, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. You were never mine. Strong words for good people, or seemingly good people, for many people, for most people. Now, you may be inclined to write these words off, which leads us to two outcomes, hearkening back to the fruits, and by the fruits you will know them. And at the end of his discourse, Jesus says in Matthew 7:24-27, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. What can they expect?" Verse 25, "And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." It had been anchored on the word of God, the will of God, Christ. You ever wonder why some people survive hardships and others don't? Why some people are hopeless and others are hopeful? Well, it's the two paths, the two ways, the two destinations, the two characteristics, the two outcomes. And what is the second outcome? There are those who hear what Jesus said and don't write it off. And then there are others, verse 26. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew against and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." There's your tragedy. Those who seek the wide path, those who avoid the narrow gate, those who outwardly do religious things, but inwardly really don't care about the will of God or the ways of God, they're sooner or later, there's a crisis, a fall, and a disaster. Or maybe even they wake up one day, so to speak, dead and in God's presence, and he says, "Depart from me, I never, ever knew you." And what you find here are the few versus the many, the hopeful versus the hopeless. Many will say, "Lord, Lord," and I will say, "Depart from them, for I never knew you, you workers of evil." That it's terrible. Heaven, how many of your friends will be there? Probably very few. It depends. Depends on whether they're born again. Will you be there? Think about it. Ask yourself, will I be there? Am I born again? Have I surrendered my whole person to Jesus Christ and his resurrection power? Have I understood there are no good people? There are just people who need saving, and I was one of them. I sinned. Christ paid for my sins. I surrendered, and he saves me. Is that you? I hope it is. Well, I think I've said enough for today. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, like us on whatever platform you're on. Give us a 5-star rating. Share us with your friends. If you have questions, email me at keithcrosby@yahoo.com. keithcrosby@yahoo.com. Put podcast in the memo line, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks for listening. May God bless you and God keep you.